Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Production. I am your faithful host, Sean, across the way. Danny, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Apparently, I'm also unfaithful.
I never said you were unfaithful.
But you did make the point to single out your faithfulness.
I still blame you for us recording 40 minutes late, but it's cool. I don't believe our conversation that we had yesterday.
When I said, I'm going to be home the same time I always am, and you said, that's cool, I have to go to work, and sometimes I work late. And I said, cool, let me know when you're home. And I heard nothing. It's all right, man. That's what happens when you get old and get responsibilities at work. Your mind slips.
Yes, it must be nice not having responsibilities over there.
The hardest part of my job is just looking busy.
But you do it so well.
Exactly, especially because, you know, some of the other people I work with makes just standing around like an art form.
Oh, man.
So I was hanging out with some friends, and we were just kind of talking about embarrassing stories from our youth. And it made me think of a story when I was in junior high, like 7th or 8th grade, and my mom was driving me to school. She was listening to Mark and Brian on the radio. He used to be a couple of local Los Angeles morning DJs for the adult crowd. And they had a segment once a week or whatever where they would do a theater type thing of a joke. So they would go into character and basically tell the joke as if they're doing a play. Mm-hmm. And so the joke basically was, you know, this guy goes to a sperm clinic and, you know, he gets signs up, does all the stuff, and he gets taken to the room and gets given the little jar. And he's in there for a while. And all of a sudden, a nurse is walking by, and she hears a loud bang come from the room. And she knocks on the door. He's like, are you okay in there? And the guy opens the door. He's like, oh, I need help. He's like, you know, and I walked in, you know, I didn't know what to do. I tried pulling on it. I was twisting it. I was just tugging it. And eventually, I just started banging it on the table. And I could not get the lid off at all. And junior Jaime is sitting in the car just laughing like it is the funniest joke I'd ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you are.
And at that point, I just happened to glance over, and my mom is looking at me with this knowing mom smile that moms get. And she's like, funny joke, huh? And I'm like, oh, God, that was hilarious. She's like, okay, why was it so funny? And I'm like, oh, shit. Now I have to explain what I know about masturbation on the ride to school with my mom.
It's maybe a trap.
Maybe the joke wasn't as funny as I initially should have told her. I kind of mumbled through, like, well, just the way, like, the sound effects and just the different voices or whatever that he did. And she just kind of, like, I tried to avert eye contact the rest of the ride, but I just saw looking over that she knew her little boy had become a man that day.
Danny, you never grew up, and she knows that.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying I didn't grow up. I'm just saying I became a man child.
A man child.
I became a man child that day.
Yes, as you still sleep in your diapers and use your crib.
No, I'm potty trained.
That's good for you, buddy.
I just play with my Legos and read my comics before I go to bed now.
Fair enough. At least your wife doesn't have to make airplane sounds for you to eat.
Well, she does that voluntarily. it's part of our ERP games.
Exactly. Oh, man. So, in the face of terrible, socially awkward stories, I tend to always have some, for some reason. I don't know what's happened in my life to where I became socially awkward with things. I think it's just bad opportunities happen around me, and I just don't think I pay attention enough to what's going on to where I fall into the trap, and I just don't realize it.
It's either that or you're a ginger.
We'll blame
it on something.
I don't feel like a ginger is the right description to judge me. I feel like there's not a lot of ginger going on my head, or not that, and not even that much on my chin.
Yeah, you're ginger enough for us. It's like when somebody, you know, is a little darker skinned, they're like, yeah, they're probably Mexican, so we'll just lump them in with the Mexicans.
Hey, just because you cut down a tree doesn't make you a lumberjack.
but you fuck one goat, dude.
You fuck one goat. It doesn't matter how many bridges you built. You're always the goat fucker. Oh, man. So, Dandy, I recently moved, I think as you know. I moved into a house out of my apartment.
Becoming a man.
Woo! I even have to shave my chest every once in a while. Not really. I gave up. 17-year-old me stopped and was like, this is too much fucking work.
Especially, you know, back then when you didn't really have any hair. Now that you're a man, your hair is growing everywhere. It's like, shit, this is going to take me forever.
You know how many razors that cost that I'm going to go through? I just look at the cost savings at this point.
I mean, if your job relied on you walking around in, like, shorts and no shirt like John Cena, and you had made enough money to where you could spend 30 minutes a day manscaping, then, yeah, that's completely understandable. But we all have real jobs and don't have John Cena money.
No, I'm not as big and strong as John Cena. But, so I ended up moving, and at the end of the moving cycle, we got everything in, and we were wrapping up, and I was doing payments and stuff, and the guys were getting ready to leave, and I was like, hey, can you put the door back up, because they took it down so they could get stuff in easier, which was cool, because it made it go by faster, because the front door is at a terrible place. So
it's not at the front of your house?
Well, it's in the front, but the door opens and it blocks the stairway to go upstairs when it opens up all the way.
That seems like either really bad or really amazing planning for if your house catches on fire and you want to like rescue or lose your family.
Yeah, it's good for bad for bank robbers, or it's good for them technically, because they could run in the house and then they can't get upstairs.
Well, I mean, I don't know why bank robbers would be in your house, but have you met people who are robbing your house, like home robbers?
That's fair enough.
I was just waiting for you to make a point on your bank robber analogy, and then it just didn't go anywhere.
You know, you started talking, so I couldn't. I just wanted to let you finish, but I see what you did there. So anyways, so the door goes, so the guy puts up the door, right, and we're done, and we're saying, like, our goodbyes, and I'm, like, literally, like, 2 feet, like, away from the guy, so I could totally, like, touch him, I'm that close, and so he puts his hand up to say bye, and I thought he wanted a high five, and I high-fived him, because I was so close. I don't know if he meant to wave to say bye because he thought I was, like, farther away, but I wasn't. So I was like, yeah, we put up the door together. And then, like, he closed it. And I'm just, like, thinking, why did I give him a high five?
You know, first of all, as you were telling the story, I was thinking, wow, that guy's pretty decent. I'm surprised he didn't, like, well, my job's done here. And it's like, can you put the door up? And he's like, yeah, for an extra $20.
That is, yeah, that part is fair. I mean, he wasn't a dick. He put it back up. Because, I mean, I didn't give him permission to take it down, so I wasn't paying for him to put it back up.
And then I was waiting for you, like, to, like, say something awkward, like, I love you, or, like, try to give him a hug or something, because that would have been even better. But the high five is pretty pretty amazing if he was just, like... But then again, it's like, who waves anymore? Like,
I know.
Especially from a guy to a guy. Like, guys don't wave to each other. Guys make... Maybe if you're, like, on a boat or a train or something, and nobody takes trains anymore, so the art of waving is dying.
That is true. Maybe if you're on a cruise, or you're on, like, the Disneyland train, and they make you, like, so that when they're like, wave to the crowd as we drive away, maybe that right, would be or, okay.
But I don't know, maybe it's the Ohio starting to take hold of you, because I know when I go visit Jody's family in North Dakota, like, people drive around, you drive past people on the road, they wave, you're standing in your driveway, and somebody drives by your house, you wave, so, you know, the Midwest is full of waivers. In California, that's taken as an act of aggression.
Triggered.
Well, literally, too. I mean, if they're armed, and that's, you know, the story that's being fed to the Midwest, that everyone in California is armed.
That is true.
And we're all gang members waiting to be initiated to be joining the gang. So anything you do, any act of kindness could be mistaken as a trigger for the initiation for us to shoot you down to join the gang of our choosing.
Exactly. Well, everybody wears camo out here, so that part's true. So,
just how do you even see anybody?
Sometimes they wear orange too, so it makes it easier so they stick out.
is that just in case, like, they're walking down the street and somebody mistakes them for a deer, and they, you know, pull a full Dick Cheney and just randomly shoot someone in the face when they're going hunting. It's like, dude, I'm wearing orange and a camo. I'm not a deer. It's like, oh man, I'm just really drunk. And really? Because I'm the vice president, it's not, nothing's going to happen. It's cool.
That part is, that is true. But yeah, it's kind of funny how much it's worn out here. Oh, and everything's a cult with Ohio State on it. That too. Those are the two things about Ohio that are true.
Well, the Browns fans have something to look forward to.
Every football season, the Browns have the Buckeyes to look forward to. I mean, it was $45 to go watch the Bengals and the Browns. So,
wait, they're paying us that much?
I don't think Cleveland has money to pay people to go watch the Browns.
Well, I mean, they probably have more money now because they're not paying Kyrie Irving anymore, so there's that.
Mm, fair enough. So, I also, a story I forgot to tell when I was hanging out at the Village Idiot. So I went to go refill my pint glass with Sweet Baby Java, and Sweet Baby Java was a great beer. It was a coffee porter, so it's basically their chocolate Sweet Baby Jesus, but it's they add coffee to it. So I'm standing in line, and this guy goes, "Oh, you ordered the Sweet Baby Java? How is it?" And I was like, oh, it's really good. I really like it. I like it on tap, but I don't really like it in the bottle. Like, it doesn't translate well to the bottle for whatever reason. It's just one of those beers. And he's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. And we're kind of talking about it. And so the bartender brings us a beer. And it's the Sweet Baby Java. So he puts it down, and I pick it up, and the bartender and the guy are, like, looking at me, because I was waiting for the bartender to ask me, like, what it was, because I was going to tell him, like, hey, this is my tap. And the bartender's looking at me, and he's like, that's his beer. And I was like, his beer? I was like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I put it back down on the bar tab. I was like, I thought you were in something else and you were asking about it. He's all, no, I just ordered it to try it. I was just asking what your opinion on the beer was. Oh. So the guy takes his beer and he walks off, and I just kind of stand there awkwardly as the other bartender comes, because I mixed up my white bartenders on accident, and the other guy gave me my beer and took my name, and I just kind of, like, walked quietly back to my corner, hoping I wasn't noticed.
you were not shouting as you're walking into the bar, "Notice me, senpai"?
No, I didn't want to be noticed that time.
Well, see, you just dropped the ball, man. You could have been, like, the king of that bar right there. Just take the beer, maintain lock eyes, and just drink it. Establish dominance, man, and then pee on him.
I should have, but I didn't. I lost my opportunity to do that.
See, that's why you had to, like, quietly slink to the corner. If you would have, like, established dominance, then you would have been able to walk with your head tall to the table and sat there until the police arrived for peeing on the dude. But still, yeah. Dominance, man. And then you would have been able to tell that story in prison and everyone would have respected you.
True. Oh, well. I guess. Well, I'm not going to prison, so I get to ruin my life.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't ruin your life. It probably would have just been for, like, a day or two.
Yeah, exactly.
So, when I'm in town, we're going to the Village Idiot then? Because there's coffee beer there, is what you're saying?
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see if it's still there when we go. It might not be there. They might switch it out. It's hard to say.
They might switch it for pumpkin spice. Pumpkin spice, sweet baby Jesus.
Danny, I added to the problem.
Did you buy a pumpkin beer already?
I did buy a pumpkin beer last week. I went on a beer tirade and I bought a 12-pack and 3 6-packs because I wanted to fill my beer fridge full of beer because it was looking really lonely with one 12-pack at a time. So I bought the Linacles pumpkin one, and it's actually really good. I don't know why you didn't like it. Or maybe you did like it. I can't remember.
No, I liked the Linenkugels. I was trying to convince the messenger chat, and everybody just shot me down and said, pumpkin beers are gross. And I'm like, no, this one's actually good. It doesn't taste like you're drinking, you know, canned pumpkin. It tastes like you're eating a pumpkin pie because it got the spices and the flavors of a pumpkin, but it's not like eating pumpkin.
Yeah, no, it was pretty good. But yeah, I added to the problem that I was complaining about last week. Oh,
man. See, that's why you can't have nice things, man. Like, you can't shake your fist at the sky complaining why someone's doing it and then turn around and give them money. It's like... I don't know why that guy's over on the corner selling drugs. Hold on a second. I'll be right back. I'm going to go buy some drugs from that dude.
You can't beat him. Just join him.
See, who cares? Man. See, I haven't bought a pumpkin beer yet. It's not time. It's still August.
I know.
That's why I'm drinking today. I'm drinking a nice chocolate oak-aged stout, because you know that's exactly what you want to drink on a warm summer day, right?
I continue to drink my grapefruit shandy, to be honest. I was drinking the fabulous mango session IPA from Ballast Point, but I ran out, sadly.
I know my beer fridge now. I'm getting to the point where I'm drinking all the other bottles, so pretty much all I have left now are the bottles that I've been getting from Bottle Logic throughout the year. So it's like I have a calendar of beers in there for each month from Bottle Logic. but there's no pumpkin beers in there, so it's cool.
Yeah.
I can still continue to shake my fist at the cloud like Grandpa Simpson.
You're going to have your 25 beers at Christmas?
No, it's not a beer. It's not a beer a day, dude. It's not an advent calendar.
That's what we need to do is build our advent calendar with beer.
Dude, that would be an amazing like gift if someone that loves you enough to like know exactly what beers you liked and wanted to go through the effort to go through and get like 25 random beers and put them someplace advent calendar style.
That would be pretty impressive to do.
That would. Hint, hint.
Danny, that's way too much work. Like, I can barely get this podcast posted on Fridays. I don't know what you're expecting from me.
Actually, it wasn't from you, but then I just realized that my wife doesn't even love me enough to listen to the podcast. Why would she go through the effort of making me a beer advent calendar?
She can't even write a review on iTunes.
Exactly.
Oh, poor buddy.
So, after last week's show, you know, we were just kind of talking about how the people movers from WALL-E and Universal Basic Income sounded like amazing ideas to help us get through the backlog of pop culture and entertainment that we're missing out on daily in our lives.
Yes.
You know, I was kind of thinking about it, and, you know, when we first started, I talked to a couple of different people about the podcast, and one of the... questions that was posed outside of when you're going to start making money off of it was, what is your target audience, right?
We don't have a target or an audience.
Well, I mean, we have a target. I mean, we're shooting blind like stormtroopers, but
we're the stormtroopers of a podcast.
Exactly. And then, so I was thinking about that, and then I was thinking about this website that I used to frequent more often called cheapassgamer.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way they, like, reviewed their games was pretty interesting. It actually fit in with the theme of the website. Like, so, you know, they didn't have a star system or a thumbs up, thumb down, or anything like that. It wasn't like, hey, you know, this game, I give this game 3 out of 5 or, you know, 5 out of 7 or whatever the perfect score on Reddit is nowadays. They gave it on how much they would pay for the game. So, you know, if the game wasn't very good, it might be, you know, I'd only pay $5 or $10 for this game, you know, but most of the price was right around $20 to $30 for games. So keeping in with that, with our, those other thoughts in mind, I was thinking about revamping our review system as far as just saying, hey, this is good and we think you should watch it necessarily. More a thing of base it on where you should prioritize it in your time. You know, hey, this is something that, you know, you should watch pretty quickly, or hey, if you got nothing else to do and you, you know, can't really sleep or something, then maybe you should check this out.
If you have
something
to,
like that.
If the only activity on your list is to watch paint dry, then do that over this movie.
Exactly. Something like that. So we'll see how that goes. I'm sure I'll ask for the feedback. It would be appreciated if you guys, if anybody out there listening actually enjoys it or has any suggestions on anything else. But for now, that's how we're going to go. And so that being said, I ended up watching the first season of the Netflix exclusive show for the Castlevania video game.
Not too shabby. Haven't got a chance to check out that one.
It's for this one, I would definitely recommend it as something that you could easily fit in anywhere in your schedule. There's only 4 episodes. There's like a time variance. They're about 23 and a half minutes and 25 minutes long. So it's just watching all 4 episodes is about the length of a standard movie. But it's really like violent. It looks very kind of old school anime-y, but in a good way. Like they just, how they stylize a lot of video games where it looks like something older, how like Borderlands is stylized. So this has that stylization of it being an older anime, but it just came out. It's really violent. There's a lot of fighting. And one of the things I really like about it, that it doesn't fall into one of the traps that anime sometimes does, where the anime is like, hey, we're making this adult show because there's swearing and violence, so let's just throw random nudity in there for no reason at all. You know, not that nudity necessarily is bad, it's just, it's kind of nice just to watch a show and see people getting murdered and asses getting kicked and not like, oh, I wonder why she just took her shirt off. Oh, well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's definitely, it's all right to have a mature theme like that, but yeah, to your point, it does get, when it gets over the top, it's definitely, it gets to a point of distraction. Definitely, like, I don't remember which anime there was I was watching, but it was definitely like, okay, seriously, I get it. Like, it's an anime that likes to show boobs. I get it. Like, you can stop.
Samurai Girls is one.
They
were both currently watching where
that one, and I don't remember what the other one was that I was watching, but that was definitely true as well.
And I know years ago when you watched High School of the Dead, they just threw the most annoying character was the teacher of the class. And she was annoying, A, because she was just really, really dumb. Like, it was hilarious how dumb she was. And she was the teacher. But then she basically just existed to be dumb and to take her top off.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
That was her life.
Like, she was in the way. She wasn't even, like, helping anything. She was just a plot device to be in the way. So, you don't really have any of these kind of characters where they're in the way. There's, you know, a purpose. It ends on a cliffhanger, because they've already announced, as pretty much the day that this was released on Netflix, they announced that they're going to come out with a second season. with twice as many episodes.
I just don't get why they did season one. It was 4 episodes at a regular 20-minute length. Like, did they really, like, it's just kind of weird. Like, I don't know how much, like, plot and story they went through to get in that they crammed into 4 episodes.
Like, this one is basically, like, the story was basically, like, a prequel, like, and a prequel. Like, it set up the story that set up the story that's going to be the story. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, it started as a flashback, and then it went into, now, and then basically it's just assembling the team for what's going to happen in the future. So, I mean, I don't know. That doesn't sound that great, but the way the team is assembled is pretty good, and the fighting and just the monsters and stuff in there. So it's a fun show, and if you played the game on the Nintendo or any other console, it's definitely worth a watch.
Not too shabby, sir.
And then another thing I watched a movie, Once Upon a Time in Venice, that has Bruce Willis, John Goodman, and Jason Momoa in it.
Okay. Sounds like an interesting group to get together.
Right, Bruce Willis plays the private detective, John Goodman plays his friend, and Jason Momoa plays a Mexican drug lord. So, the actors all do a really good job, they've all played the role well. It's one of those movies where the main character always has a solution to every problem. Mm-hmm. And not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but it's a little bit like John McClane from
I can't even
think of the movie. Die Hard. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Think of John McClane from Die Hard without as much violence. It's definitely worth a watch. I don't know if I'd necessarily prioritize it, but if you want to watch a movie and you like Bruce Willis or John Goodman, or even want to see Jason Momoa, he's not in it as much as I think I would like him to be, but he's definitely in it enough to check out the movie for him to be in it. Okay. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pretty funny lines. There's a lot of really good scenes. But yeah, I mean, if you are looking for a movie to watch and have nothing necessarily on your mind, like you're not looking for a movie and you just stumble across this, it's definitely worth a watch. It's not like you'll be sad that you watched it. You won't come away like, I should have watched something else. Where, and, you know, it's not quite like, you know, it'll put it on a long list, but it's definitely not like if you have something else that you'd rather watch to replace this one with.
Gotcha.
But yeah, Jason Momoa is pretty funny in this movie. It's making me look forward to seeing Justice League just to see how he's going to play Aquaman.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be interesting to see how he plays. I think he'll have the right kind of attitude for Aquaman.
Yeah, the trailers look like he's pretty much the main one having any fun in the movie, just going out there and just killing things or at least beating him up or whatever he's doing, riding on the Batmobile. You know, the scene that's been in every trailer where he kind of just comes out of the water holding the bottle of liquor and he's like, oh, just like a bat. Cool. That I'm hoping he just kind of has that, like, cavalier, like, whatever. It's not really that big of a deal throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, no, hopefully so. We'll find out soon, too.
Soon. I don't know if that's a threat or a promise, but yes, soon.
Maybe both.
Why not both?
So last week, my brother came into town, and I was able to go jump on to a bunch of fun activities, Danny. I know one activity you probably will not enjoy, Cedar Point, the big amusement park out here in Ohio.
I mean, is it big for Ohio, or is it big and it's in Ohio? That's a rather misleading statement.
It's big and in Ohio. It's it compares up to Six Flags Magic Mountain when Magic Mountain was taken care of and in its prime.
Before or during the time when gangs were running rapid, like just randomly beating up each other and shooting each other?
That's a good question. I don't remember seeing gangs there, so maybe afterwards. Or on good days when the gangs took a break.
Like weekdays when they all had to go to work?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know much about the history and the gangs of Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Yeah, because I just know when I was in high school, and you know, a year or two after I got out, it would show up on the news more often than it should that there was more gang violence at Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Hey, somebody has to claim it. Before Pokemon Go, it was gangs. So Cedar Point has some of the world record breaking rides here. At one point, I know Millennium Force, when it first came out, is the biggest coaster in the world at one point. And then they have Top Thrill Dragster and a few other ones that are just pretty incredible. And we went on a Thursday, so we definitely tried to dodge the crowds. And it was kind of overcast. It was going to rain in the afternoon. So we timed it perfect. I mean, we literally got through the whole park and rode two additional rides, basically all within 4 hours. So it was really awesome to go check it all out. And I get on Millennium Force, and Millennium Force is about, the drop is, well, it's like 350 feet or something like that. I mean, it's huge, and it's just like, it's like the first ride that I've been on all year. I haven't been on any roller coasters like in almost a year at that time. And it's like the train's going up the hill. And it's not like a traditional like chain that you kind of slowly go up to the top. It's more of like a pulley system, and it yanks you to the top. So you don't you go up there pretty quick. You just hit that.
Is it similar to Soaring Over California, where like they don't just let you go, they launch you up the hill?
No, they don't. It's not like that.
It's not quite that fast, but faster than your standard.
Yeah, it's like a pulley system. It's not magnetic, but it's definitely faster than your typical like train, your chain ride to get you up there. So, but man, dude, the drop is just so breathtaking, because the Millennium Force is on the edge of the park, and you go up and you just get to overlook Lake Erie and kind of just like look over the lake, and you see the boats going through and the islands that are out there, and then boop, you're over the top and you're screaming for your life because it's one of the biggest drops that you'll ever go on.
Yeah, as you were doing the intro, I was thinking, I'm like, you know what, maybe I'll go on some of the rides. It might be kind of cool. And then as you're telling the story of the 350-foot drop, and I could just feel like an uneasiness come over me sitting in my living room in California.
Did you clench super tight? A little bit. Making diamonds over there.
A little bit. I mean, between my fear of heights and, you know, seeing somebody fall out of a roller coaster when I was younger, I'm not a huge fan of amusement park rides.
It's fair. So Maverick is my favorite coaster at Cedar Point. And this isn't a tall roller coaster. And the train holds about 10 people, probably. Maybe 12. So it's definitely a smaller train. But man, it like, so you do like a little launch, and the train and it's basically supposed to be really more of a wild ride. So it has a lot of twists and turns and bends, and you fly through there and you just kind of zip through, and it's incredibly fun. And I think it's like my favorite ride at the park, and it's just amazing. And then we went on, what was it, Magnum XL. And this was like the biggest ride like in the world back in the 90s. You could tell it was in the 90s because this shit is fucking like really crinkety. And like we rode in the back, and it was like the worst idea like that we had all day. Because you know, we're just like, it's got no chill in the back. And it's just like, you're just like zipping around, and you're like getting whiplash, and it's all super rockety, so you're just like doing that weird shake thing through the whole coaster. Is a bit ridiculous. And then of course the awesome Top Thrill Dragster, and this is and Danny, this is the one that's like the roller coaster at Disneyland, where it, you basically, it's themed like a drag strip, and so your train goes right into the next to the Christmas tree for the like a drag strip, and it basically starts making like those engine noises, and you just hear it like. You just hear it release the brakes, and then the Christmas light just goes down to green, and it shoots you 120 miles up this giant 425 foot ramp. And instead of like Superman at Six Flags Magic Mountain, where you just go up and then you come right back down the same track, you actually make a you make a U over the top of the hill, and you come racing down face first. Down the ride. So the ride is over. It takes about 17 seconds, but just that initial, that launch, like you can't even prepare for it. Cause as soon as like you're in there, you're like nervous, but as soon as it shoots, like you're just you're up and down like super quick. And you're just like, oh wow, it's done. Like you have no time to think about it. Cause you're at the very top very quickly.
Right. By the time you realize you haven't been breathing for the whole ride, the ride's over and you didn't die or pass out.
Exactly. You're like, I'm alive! So that was awesome. I definitely got to look at the new ride. They do have a new ride opening up next year. So they tore down Main Street, they kind of took pieces of it, and they're making quote unquote the tallest hybrid between wood and steel coaster right now, because this is kind of the new thing that's going on across the world right now. They have Twisted Colossus out at Six Flags Magic Mountain, and then so this is going to be the biggest one, and they actually have like a corkscrew and stuff in this one, so it's going to be interesting to see what they come up with, what else that track is going to look like. But that is opening in 2018, and I will be sure to get to Cedar Point a little bit earlier next season, just to make sure I get to try that thing before the crowds get too crazy in the summertime.
Right, and the cool thing with your job is you can go during the week. You don't have to just, like a normal person, go on the weekend only.
Yes and no. A lot of the amusement parks out here on the East Coast go through seasons, and so after Halloween, Cedar Point's closed until May. And so in May, they're only open, I think, on the weekends until they get closer to summertime. And then it's open every day, pretty much, until September comes, and then they close it during the week again. And then it's only open on weekends for, like, during September and October for Halloween weekends.
Oh, that's kind of, well, I guess, you know, When you live in a place where there's a possibility of snow, it's kind of pointless to keep it open the whole time.
Mm-hmm. And it happens with a lot of things out here, which is a little surprising because you go to Disneyland like every day if you wanted to. There's no days off in Disney World. Mickey doesn't give a shit.
No, and I know there was a guy for a while. I don't know if he's still doing it, but he went to Disneyland like every day for like a year or two or something crazy, or like 5 years. I don't know how long it was, but some crazy amount of time he went to Disneyland every day.
That's terrible. I just imagine like getting off work and then driving over to Disneyland and like, got time to go to Disneyland now.
Well, I mean, I guess unless he was just wealthy enough that he didn't need a job, or he was quote unquote self-employed.
That's fair. He could have been, but that would have been a bad choice.
I mean, I guess it's better than, you know, sitting at home trying to figure out what your gun tastes like.
I guess that's true.
Well, to some people, I guess one is better than the other, just personal preference, which way it goes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I have to go to Disneyland every day for a year? Just pass me the gun. Let's just get this over with.
You can only take screaming kids for so many days in a row before you just end it. So we also went to Ohio Caverns. And so this is down in West Liberty, which is probably about an hour away from Columbus or something like that. So it's a little bit kind of right between Cincinnati and Columbus, kind of in that west, southern west Ohio part. It just amazes me, Danny, because, like, I'm, like, driving through small towns, and literally, like, I get, like, I'm expecting to kind of, like, oh, these caverns are going to be kind of more in, like, a woodsy kind of area, you know, kind of more forest and whatnot. Nope, in the middle of fucking farmland. In the middle of farmland are these caves, is this cavern, sorry, not a cave. And so I took me and him, we went on both of the tours and checked it out, and it was, and honestly, Danny, it was actually a fun day trip. Like, it was pretty interesting to see, like, the different tours. We went on one of them, and it's kind of like the history of the caverns, and it was very interesting to walk and kind of see where a lot of people were back in the 1890s when they discovered the cavern and stuff, and what the original tour used to look like. And it was cool to see everybody's name carved in, because one of the fun things that they said is they would just give you a lantern and they would lower you into the hole, and then you just crawled wherever you wanted, and then that was basically, like, that was it. And so people would try to see how far they could go with their little oil lamp, and they would carve their name into different parts of the rock depending on how far they got. So it was really cool to see that part. And then they kind of opened up, like, hey, in the 1920s, they opened up and they pulled out a lot more dirt and stuff, and they created more of the caverns, and that's what you see modern day. So there's not a lot of damage to the different crystals that they have. So it was kind of cool to see all these giant crystals that have been forming for thousands or hundreds of thousands of years down there.
Yeah, when one time when we went to go visit Jody's family in North Dakota, me and her mom went down to see Mount Rushmore, and one of the things we stopped at was a cavern in South Dakota, and it was kind of the same way, where it was on a valley, flat land, and there was farms around it, and, you know, you're saying you're expecting forest land or whatever, and the sad thing is it probably was surrounded by trees and forests at one point, and then the farms came in.
That's probably a fair possibility, but it was definitely just kind of interesting to kind of take, because they discovered it because of a sinkhole. That's the only way they discovered it. They probably would have probably never found out about it. It probably wouldn't even, people would have never known about it if it wasn't for that sinkhole that happened in the 1890s.
That's cool. I mean, it's kind of cool, that, like you said, to see the names on there, but the other thing that kind of sucks about that kind of stuff is they didn't realize the damage that they were doing to a lot of the natural formations by going in there and, you know, licking it or touching it or whatever they're doing,
getting their
dirty human hands all over it.
Oh, they would break crystals off and take it with them. So in the history one, there's no crystals because that was your souvenir back in the 1800s. You'd crawl down there and you would break off a piece for yourself, and you would keep it for as a namesake. So it was very interesting to see how there was, like, nothing, and then in the other caverns, there's, like, a bunch.
Right, and you can see, like, on the walls where they touched it, because the oil in their hands stopped the growth process as well, so it basically killed the crystal or the cavern walls.
Yeah, I guess they say it takes about 50 years for the oils to wash out of there from just nature being able to get rid of it itself. So it's kind of crazy that it takes that long for that to clear out.
Yeah, that's just, it's kind of, you know, sad and cool, like I said, to see, you know, in a cavern, you can see the actual damage that people cause to natural things by, you know, just something simple as just, you know, poking at it with your finger. You just cause 50 years of pain to a rock.
Yes.
You made Moonbeam sad by touching that rock.
Can you smell what the rock is cooking, though?
It's cooking. it is using the oils from your hands to cook.
All right, we got to move this along. That was terrible. All right. So sadly, my brother didn't get to do this with me because we couldn't get it up and running Saturday. And on Sunday, I went to Trapped Toledo. And Danny, I know you think this is a weird
club. A shemale bar?
A shemale bar, but it is not. It's not a trap like that.
It's not like a bunch of hot chicks walking around with penises trying to entice you to buy them drinks.
Exactly. That's you don't have to worry about that. You're in safe hands here. Basically, you have three different rooms, and each room is kind of a story that you kind of get, you jump into. And so the one I did was basically we were a human resistance team, like going into a corporation that kind of poisoned the world and started turning people into zombies, and we had to get the cure and get out. And so when we went in and we got the cure and we planted the bomb, but the door was locked and we had to get out of the room. And so we had to figure out these different puzzles and using the clues around the room to get out. Now the tough thing is you only have an hour to do it. And the worst part is there's a zombie in the room with you, and that's chained to the wall, that's like yelling and trying to attack you. And if you got touched, then you're contaminated and you have to go against the wall because we don't want you to turn against us. But you can still like yell and help out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it was the one we did out of 250 groups to participate in this, only 28% survived and made it out of the room. We made it out with 1 minute to spare. It was actually one of the funnest things I think I've done in a long time. It was something very different that I just don't think about. So I would probably encourage anybody out there that has something similar to that, I would look at the reviews and I would try it at your locations because it was a lot of fun. I think the only thing is I would probably make sure that you have a group of friends to do it, not necessarily just you and a buddy and then you're mixed with a bunch of strangers, because that could get a little awkward when you're kind of talking loudly on how to get out of this room because everybody's starting to like freak out and are trying to like figure things out. So you can always get stuck with that guy that takes it too seriously, you know.
Or like the group of guys we were stuck with at the Maid Cafe at Anime Expo.
Yeah, they're just kind of like halfway into it and don't really care, then it sucks.
Like one guy was there because he wanted to do it, and then the other guys were there because their friend basically dragged them along, and so they're like, yeah, whatever, who cares if we live or die, because it's not real.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be my only warning. And I'm not going to give any clues out on how to solve it for any of the people that do live out here. I would say just go do it because it was a lot of fun. One of the other puzzles that they have right now is called Served. And you basically have to escape out of the room before you become a murder victim. And you basically have to survive a cannibal murder, or else you get chopped up and you get served as dinner. That's the sound of what the description sounds like. And then they have one where you have to find the band keys for a rock star and get him to out of the room and to the show on time. That one is actually getting filtered out next month, and it's going to be a robbery. So basically you're going to break in and you're going to have to steal this art piece back from somebody that stole it from you. So that one should be a lot of fun too.
I thought you were going to say they were going to phase it out and bring in a pumpkin spice escape room for the holiday.
You have to escape the pumpkin spice. No. Sorry. Unfortunately, nothing like that, sir.
Yeah, I know there's a couple of escape rooms out here. That's definitely getting to be something that's becoming more and more popular just because it's something different. And like you said, check the reviews, because from what I'm hearing people say that there's different groups that just are throwing it together, because it's not, you don't really need much as far as capital. You just need a room and some puzzles. So there's some people that have a much better production than others. I know that when we went to Anime Expo, they had a Final Fantasy themed escape room there when you had to escape Bahamut, however it said.
Gotcha.
And I heard that one was pretty fun. It wasn't super difficult from listening to one of the podcasts that I listened to. One of the guys did it. And that was mostly just because they wanted to try to, I guess, get as many people through as possible. And it was more, instead of having each person have their own room, there was like different tables, like stations basically. And so you would solve a puzzle and you'd go to the next station until you got to the end. And that was, he said that didn't become a problem, wasn't a problem until you caught up on some slower groups that were having a problem with their puzzle. And then you kind of either got stuck or you had to, you know, have them watch you while you solved it, and then they cheated.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, I would say Trap Toledo puts a lot of work into their puzzles and stuff. Like, it was definitely, the puzzles were very challenging, but they were logical if you kept an open mind. Like, it was tough. Like, I won't lie. Like, we were like, oh, we're fucked. Like, at 10 minutes, we had 10 minutes left. We were like, we're fucked. Like, we're dying. Like, I don't know how we just figured out last second and we were able to do it. But the actors that were in there, very convincing, play true. Like, your kind of person that's in there as kind of the supervisor to make sure you don't break stuff and cheat. They were like, they were helpful to kind of help keep the puzzle going forward, especially like in jailbreaks, and very knowledgeable about the things, but played it to where, like, they weren't spoiling anything, and the zombie did a really good job staying in character. Like, I was kind of like, because you'd have to distract him a little bit to, like, keep him away from other group members so you guys could do stuff. And I was, like, making dad jokes and just saying stupid shit just to, like, keep him, like, trying to keep him, like, focused on me and to keep myself entertained. And he was like, and he told me, he's like, I really just wanted to start laughing, like, the whole time. Because we were just being, like, super outrageous. But he stayed true to character the whole time. And I definitely give, those two actors a lot of props. So, you can trust the Trap Toledo people.
Did they mess with the temperature or anything like that in the room? Because I know somebody that I know that did an escape room said that they kept the room, like, super hot to just kind of add more stress to your thoughts and you're trying to solve the puzzles.
Well, alarms would go off and the lights would flicker and turn off, like you had to evacuate. I mean, I don't remember if it was hot, because I just felt like we were running around trying to figure things out, and I never thought about being hot. Like, I was in shorts and a t-shirt, and I was just like, I was just going, like, I was running around the room, kicking my shoes on, making sure, like, I was dodging the zombie and stuff. Like, I was just too focused to think about it, because that's how intense it was.
Well, no, I mean, because he's done a few escape rooms, and he said he's done a couple of them where, like, they crank the thermostat up to, like, 90.
Oh, jeez.
To, like, add that to, like, but I guess the room that you're in, the distractions were more built into the theme as far as the alarms and different things. So it was actually more thematic and story driven, as opposed to just, let's just make it hot because we have nothing else to do.
Yeah. I imagine that they would do something to that effect if it matched the story, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel
that makes sense.
Yeah. I feel like this production would do something like that. Like, if it was like we were trapped in a freezer or something, or a fridge, or like a walk-in cooler, like, it would totally, I bet, would be nice, super cold in there. Like, that would definitely be, I think, something that they would do.
Like, for the served one with the cannibal, like, that would make sense if, like, as the puzzle went longer and as it got closer to the end, the room was getting hotter because that was to symbolize the guy turning his oven on and, like, his oven preheating to cook you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that actually be pretty cool. Like, it's like, oh my god, it's getting so hot, and you're just like, I know, my oven's almost ready.
That would be pretty funny.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's something that I know a bunch of people around me that are doing, and it's just definitely a trend that's taking off. So if you find out there's a trapped room in your area, check it out and let us know what you think of it. Maybe you can give them a plug as well.
Exactly.
So yesterday I was checking around on the interwebs, just hanging out, and I noticed that people were complaining that the Xbox Live system was down on different sites on Facebook.
Jeez.
And so, of course, you know, a lot of the comments was pretty funny. A lot of them was like, ha ha, PlayStation rules, so Microsoft sucks. And it's like, dude, the PlayStation Network is down more often than the PlayStation Network is, Microsoft Xbox Live is now. So,
yeah.
You know, the only one that, but it was just funny. It just became, it didn't even come about like, hey, what's wrong? It just became a PC Master Race. No. Xbox is best.
The nerd fucking circle jerk.
Exactly.
Oh, it's so irritating.
But, you know, from what I was reading, it just mostly seemed to affect the people that are part of their, basically the beta testing group for their updates.
Mm-hmm.
And so they couldn't play any downloaded games. They couldn't even play any they couldn't play any downloaded games or apps, and a bunch of them were saying they couldn't even play any games that they had on disc.
Oh, wow. That's pretty intense.
Because, you know, as you pointed out on a few episodes ago, talk about cell phone games, you know, not only do you have to be constantly online to play cell phone games, but you have to be pretty much constantly online to play, you know, almost any Xbox game anymore. I know that for a while they're going to make it where you had to be online all the time to play the game, and then it was like, yeah, well, do like a ping test just to make sure you're not pirating the games every once in a while. But, you know, if you're going to, the problem with having everybody online, have to be online all the time to play the games is, you know, the systems aren't infallible. They get hacked or they just go down because, you know, computer parts break or just get overused.
Yeah.
And then other places where, you know, the internet isn't as great as it could be in this country, you know, we're not in the top, like, 5 or 10 of internet speeds in the world.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
I mean, South Korea's got a speed on that, and that's why they dominate esports. Their internet is amazing.
Cheaters.
I don't know if that's cheating or they're just prepared, well prepared. Like, their government cares about them.
Hey, yeah, they just care about good internet. We just care about making a buck.
And so, you know, with the system going down, like, a lot of people are saying that they just had to, like, basically go offline, like, force the system to not log them onto Xbox Live. And so, like, either whether it was just disconnect from their Wi-Fi or disconnect their Ethernet cable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know a lot of people are going to digital only games where they don't buy any more physical copies. And so, you know, it just sucks because it's like, if you come home from work and you just want to sit down and chill and play a game and you go to jump on your Xbox and you can't play any of your downloaded games because the system is down. You know, that's definitely one strike against having digital only games. The other one is digital games are way more expensive than they should be. You know, part of the reasoning that video game makers and the companies talk about games being so expensive is they include, like, the price to make the box as far as printing the covers and burning the disc and printing the disc and all the shipping costs. They said that that's all factored into how much, you know, the physical copies, why video games are so expensive. But when you go to buy digital games, it's as much, and then it stays that much for a long time. Like, you can go within a week or two of a game coming out, going to Best Buy or GameStop or wherever, and that game is probably going to be on sale for $10 to $20 cheaper than it was when it came out, versus digital, where you might have to wait, you know, for a special summer event or Christmas event or something like that for the game to go on sale. And even then, it might only be $5 or $10 off.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think digital stays more expensive through time. It's definitely not decreasing as fast. I mean, I could find deals better at Target and, like you said, Best Buy and GameStop more often than not with a disc than I can online, which doesn't make any sense.
Right. If their story about it, the cost of the game being driven into the print, the physical movement of the games, then digital should be, by that statement, $5 or $10 cheaper day one, just because there's no physical anything at all, or even $20 cheaper if that's how much they're saying it costs, all the costs involved in moving a game from the warehouse to the stores and then to your house, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, it totally makes sense.
And so I don't know if you noticed, but I got a sad email yesterday. We were supposed to get a game next week.
I discovered this. Oh, I was looking on my Amazon account, and it was supposed to be, yes. Oh, sad news.
I know. The Peach Beach Splash, Sakurin Kagura, Peach Beach Splash, got postponed for a month. Instead of coming out at the end of August, it's now going to come out at the end of September.
Which is terrible, because I'll be full-blown Destiny mode by that time.
I know. Like, the whole reason we're going to get this game was... Hey, let's just play this game for like a week or so to hold us over till Destiny comes out. And then I was thinking, you know, we can just hang out and do different things with the game. But I don't know, man. Like, part of me wants to continue to get the game. But there's a small part of me that kind of wants to cancel my pre-order just because it's not going to fill the hole in my heart that's left by not having Destiny, because it's not going to be there anyways.
That is true. Oh, man, that is true. So did you end up pre-ordering Destiny then? I feel like I never heard you say you did.
No, I didn't.
You ain't got time for Destiny either.
I was speaking for you when I was talking about the hole in the heart.
Okay. That's what I thought. I was like, I don't know why I get why you're sad because it's coming out late, but I don't know why you're sad for the Destiny.
Actually, well, I'm sad because it was a game that we could have played together, but if that game comes out and you're playing Destiny, then I'll be just playing the game by myself.
Wah,
wah. Wah, wah.
Super sad.
So, I know. So I got a whole month for girls in bikinis with water guns instead of this week, because it was supposed to come out on this Tuesday. Well, I guess August 28th or whatever that day is.
Yeah.
29th, like that.
At some point, I don't know what I'll be. I know what I'll be doing that day. I might not be playing that game, but I'll be doing something.
Well, I'm sure we all will be, unless like we die or the world comes to an end or something like that. But I'm sure we'll all be doing something that day, Sean.
I gotta stop what I'm doing to look into my own things. I apologize. Not really, but still.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, I'm not sorry. Danny, another I would say great show, but who knows anymore. It was good hanging out with you today, everybody. Make sure you guys are giving us a like on Facebook, on Podbean, on iTunes, on everything, on a street sign. Who knows, maybe one day we'll get famous.
Yeah, hopefully Banksy or something, somebody pulls a Banksy and just tags our logo everywhere. That would be pretty awesome.
We do have the stickers. Hopefully we won't get fined with littering, though.
Well, they just have to find us.
Exactly. They'll never find us. Bastards.
You already know how to get out of an escape room, and you've got the door blocking your stairs so they can't get to you, so you're good.
Yes, I am good. Danny, I hope you're the one that needs training now.
Yeah, and then my stairs are built the correct way. They don't block the stairs. They go away from the stairs. I'm at a huge disadvantage there.
Yes, you are. It's a sad thing.
Apparently, the guy who built my complex cared about the safety of people who lived in the buildings.
All right, everybody. Danny, it was good hanging out with you today. We'll see you next week.
Next week, everybody.